This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello everyone, Aaron here. Just a quick one to say that I've spliced this pod into two. So did the live stream on Sunday night, went on for ages, far too long. I spliced it in two. It will still go up today. You'll still get both parts. Just so you know, if it cuts out randomly at the end, it's because there's a part two. Go and find that. Or if you're listening to part two, go and find part one. Anyway, I'll leave you to it. It's long enough as it is. But before I go, on Thursday, we're hoping it's Thursday, we are dropping a big My Argo Life, hopefully. No promises, but hopefully, if it all goes well, we're recording on Tuesday. It's a big one. You'll see it on our socials. So make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube as well, because that's where it'll be going first. It's a big one. Cheers, guys.
Ben, come to you on this. We'll try and keep them brief now, because I know there are a load to rattle through. Justin Piggott on Facebook asks, while passionate about Argyle, I'm not as knowledgeable about football as you guys. That's quite a nice compliment. He probably doesn't know us personally. Well, with this in mind, I have two questions. I'm going to leave question number two because we're going to come on to that much later, because there's a lot of questions about Foster's future and possible replacements and what we feel about that. But he says, how much of what we are seeing as a result of the loss of players like Azaz and Kundal rather than just solely Ian Foster?
Azaz and Kundal were playing in the forward of the midfield roles, weren't they? They were basically swapping, they were interchangeable with the forwards. They were able to go forward, collect the ball, create overloads, allow Mumba and Whittaker to drop back and cut in with the ball and get shots away, etc. Where they fit into this system, I don't know. Now, yes, obviously they're a massive loss. You know, we've discussed Azaz's creativity both on the stats pod, which if you haven't looked at it, go and listen to that. It shows just what a loss he was. But would they be playing in this system or performing in this system? So, for example, if we had Kundal or Azaz in this team, they would presumably be alongside Forshaw or Houghton, being the sort of creative going forward midfielder, or you'd be asking them to be the holding midfielder, which I don't think suits either of them. The Kundal, maybe. Kundal's passing is excellent. His range and accuracy was good, but I don't think he's sturdy enough to play that role. So he's basically going to be the more forward thinking of the two midfielders. I don't think that's the role that, I mean, Azaz's close control is absolutely fantastic, but I don't think that's a role that really suits him and would get the best out of his skill set. So losing them, I don't think, if we were still playing the Schumacher way, I think that would be a big loss. But I don't think it. And as for are they, you know, so integral, such good players that they pulled us along by the bootstraps because they, by sheer force of will and skill. Well, Kundal's gone to Stoke and been anonymous by all accounts. And Azaz has had a few moments of brilliance, but also been riding the bench. And Borough fans aren't overly impressed. So, as you know, I'd have taken back in a heartbeat, one of my favourite players of all time. At Argyle, just beautiful to watch this season gone, or this season we're in rather, but the half season we had him. But I think there's much more to it than those two players. And, you know, there's many ways to skin a cat. And people said all season, oh, you're the best team we've seen come here. You gave us a real good fight, beautiful football. And I saw a Preston fans tweet last night that said, night and day, the football that you played here and what we saw yesterday, just no identity whatsoever. It was turgid. You didn't look like doing anything. What's happened? And that's not down to two players or three players or even four players. We've got replacements in who are decent. if not the same caliber, there should be, we should be able to play a decent level of football, especially with the two crown jewels up front, without, you know, with the lot, if counting in for the loss, accounting for the loss of those players that we've lost, like Azaz and Kundal.
Exactly that. We see Scott McCarthy put a question on Facebook. We've had a couple of them coming in recent weeks about whether or not people can make guest appearances on the podcast. I think there is potential moving forward to do like you used to get on Five Live, like 606 phone-ins and things, like Twitter Spaces post games. That is something that we are looking at, and it's something that we need to discuss as a group moving forward. So there is always a chance to get people involved that way. And of course, if anything major were to happen, there'd obviously be yet another live stream, which obviously people seem to have an appetite for. Let's go on to the questions that have come in. And there's a whole host of them basically on the same sort of trend, but there was one that I saw earlier that I wanted to come to, if I can find it. Aaron tells me there's a load of stuff that's been starred, so just think amongst yourselves for a second. It's not really a question, but it's a comment from Finn, and it's something that I've been talking about in our group chats of late. And he says, Hallett needs to release a statement either way, saying he's staying or going 2 weeks of uncertainty allows more negativity to culminate. Open forum, lads, you know, give your points as succinct as we can. Whilst I'm not a huge fan of, PR backing the manager statements, because I think we all know how they tend to end up when clubs do it, would something from Simon Hallett, like another chairman's letter or a little video on Argo TV, that would go a long way. Even if he comes out and says, you know, Foster's our man, we believe in him, you know, issue a rallying cry. We've got 8 games to go. These are a massive 8 games. I detailed on a pod the other week about just the basic finances of relegation this year on TV revenue alone, before you factor in sponsorship and merchandise and ticket sales and things like that. There needs to be something, doesn't there, from Uncle Simon, whether it's a letter or a video, just trying to issue a rally cry.
Absolutely. I put out a tweet to the same effect. You can't expect the board to come out and say something every time there's a bad game, but we do have a break now, and we've heard the discontent at the ground. That's new. It's not just Foster out icons on Twitter or whatever. That's a sizable chunk of the support. And also they've got eyes. They understand football to quite a decent level. They can see the football that's being played. They're not idiots in that regard either. Now, obviously, they will need to meet. The idea that all of a sudden they were going to come out and say something already, I think, is a bit naive. They will need to meet. They will need to have discussions and then decide on, you know, the press release of what it is. But they do either need to back him so we all know where we stand, or put him out of his misery, as it were. But I do think this is the right time. This international break on the back of what happened on Saturday and the run that's preceded it. I do feel like you say, Joe, and I think everyone's getting the same sense amongst the fan base. Let us know what's going on here, because in a way they've kind of left him, they've hung him out to dry a little bit. If they don't do that by the end of this window.
Yeah. I mean, Hallett has huge amounts of goodwill in the bank with us as a fan base. I think he needs to, you know, lend support to Foster if indeed he does have his support. If they're rallying behind the scenes, working out their next step, that's a different matter. But if you don't make a statement at this point, then you're just the vacuum enables us all to feel that there is something happening behind the scenes, and there must be a move. I keep going to Twitter thinking, maybe there'll be either a statement of one ilk or another waiting for me when I go on there. The vacuum lends to speculation, which is just not helpful at all. Hallett also talks about, clarity and transparency as part of the pillars of the club. And so if you're allowing this speculation to swirl, and this unrest in the fan base to go challenged and unnoted, then yeah, that seems to fly in the face of that. And also, if you want to talk about it from a sort of human level, it doesn't feel it fits with the ethos of what he was trying to build at the club, to kind of let Foster take it all as a focal point and let him take all the flack. If he does have your support, then bring senior faces out from behind the curtain and say, oh, this is our plan, this is what we're doing. And you're right, you can't do that after a couple of bad games, or you know, the precedent would be crazy. But at this point, with the break, with the reaction, with the results, the form, the stats that we all spoke about, the things that everyone can see, I think it has to be something in the next few days, really.
I think more than anything, Adam, it's you know, whether or not people will agree with the board backing Foster or not, you know, he's the man they've chosen, and you know, who are we to knock that? They've not got anything. If they have got anything wrong, it's been very minor in the last 4 or 5 years. So we've every right to believe they've made the right choice. And if we don't agree with that, that's fine. But it would just settle everyone down, wouldn't it? If it was just to come out and say, look, this is who we've got for 8 games. We've got a massive 8 games to save our championship status that we've worked so hard for over 12 years, 12, 13 years to get back to this point. Let's just put everything to one side and do everything we can to get over the line. That's all we want, isn't it?
Yeah, and it would absolutely go a long way. I completely agree with what you've all said in truth so far. This cannot be left to fester for a fortnight. Something ultimately has to give, whether it's the sacking that I'd certainly be in favour of, or whether it's some more of a statement to that extent. You know, I totally would get that. And I think it helps for sure that the board have got a lot of goodwill. This has not been a good couple of months by any stretch of the imagination, but it has been a good 5 years. It's been a great 5 years under Hallett. He's got the fans on his side in a way that very few people do. So that would go a long way. I think ultimately, you know, the award have been excellent. Then no one's immune to mistakes. I don't think it would be entirely unfair for us to say, we think this board are excellent for us. We also think they've got it wrong, because I think a lot of us may well be in that position at the moment. But certainly if Hallett, in one of his chairman's letters, for example, comes out and explains his thinking so far, it would at the very least calm people down, which with everything up in the air at the moment, that at the very least is needed. It wouldn't be my preferred course of action at this point, but it would be something, and we need something.
Yeah, we certainly do. And I won't go through all of the questions that Aaron's starred, because unfortunately they all follow a very similar tone. So I'm just going to pick one of them at random. I know that Chris Webb made a very good point. Those of you, quick plug, those of you who haven't heard the My Argyle Life with Chris Webb, it is very much worth a listen off the back of our very own Graham's episode. He goes into great detail about the club and administration. It's well worth a listen. And he points out there that, you know, not everyone is complicit in this, not just, yeah, Adam, you'll have to look up a little bit, you too, James, if you want to stay in shot for a second. But those, you know, those points are very key. But the one thing that everyone's talking about at the moment is, well, there it is. Nick Robshaw asked it. 8 games to go. It's a mini league. You know, I spoke about it weeks ago again. It's a mini league, 8 games to save off our championship status. And just very quickly, you don't have to go into any great detail, but is a change needed? That's all we'll ask.
I think his valet probably typed that, not Nick himself. We're in a very bad run of form. You know, Matt Lee from BBC Radio Stoke, he said that, you know, it's been 7 years since we lost 4 at home. And I think it was Kieran Williams, was it? I think Margot Life quoted him from the main account. But it was 2010 since we last had 4 games at home that we hadn't scored in consecutively. And one of those was a draw. And that was the season.
Let's not talk about how that season ended.
Fair enough. But, you know, those were against teams, you know, those four games were against Blackpool, Barnsley, Borough and Newcastle. And those were quite tough games in that season, regardless of the sort of run we were in. So the games that we've not, yes, we've played a couple of good teams, but, you know, like we've talked about Preston and their quality. We're in some, you know, it's been decades since we've had a run this bad. Thing is, I know you said to be quick, Ryan Lowe and the next manager we face, of two managers that have proven that actually you can bring a ship back from capsizing. You know, the two, both of those looked absolutely dead in the water, surefire for the sack. However, the difference is, A, they had a pre-season with their teams, which Foster hasn't, and B, they had results going before the dreadful run came. Preston went on that brilliant run, then they fell off a cliff. Norwich were doing pretty well, then they fell off the cliff, and now they're both sort of back into decent form. Foster hasn't had either of those, and neither does he have the previous experience. So on the basis of that, and the basis of what we've seen so far, I would suggest that it might have been an appointment that would have worked if he had a full pre-season and the ability to get his players in and have the time. But it seems like a step too far too early for me. And as sad as it is for him as a man, as a club decision, it seems quite, I won't say obvious, but it seems like the sensible thing to do, to call it quits now and put it in the hands of a caretaker, be that from within the club or a firefighter from outside. That's, you know, a different conversation to have.
James?
To manage ourselves out of this situation and get enough points on the board, as I said earlier, I think you need to be a manager who can bring everyone along with them, fans, players, a vision. I don't have really any question that Foster has the credentials as a coach, but does he have the credentials as a manager? He wasn't hired as a manager, but he needs them. He doesn't have them. And at the end of the day, he hasn't got buy-in from fans or seemingly the players. And there doesn't seem to be any reassuring signs that there's going to be a change in fortune. None of these last games of at home have yielded any green shoots. He's lost the fans at this point. I don't think his position is tenable. I think there should be a change. And I don't necessarily feel that on wholly and solely on footballing decisions. I feel that on the big picture of his relationship with the fans and his position.
Adam,
yeah, very much so. And again, it goes back to the point I made earlier. It's just been a really sad situation for all concerned. It's been 6 weeks, maybe, since I was willing to sit here and entertain the possibility that Foster was very much an upgrade on Schumacher. You know, the way things were going, you get to half-time at Sunderland, you're thinking, Christ, we're going to be safe. We're not only going to be safe, we're actually looking up the table rather than down. Just how much are we going to survive by? And since then, it's 5 points from 30 or something along those lines. And it's just very sad, but it's not working. Now, what's happened? I don't know, maybe he was replaced at halftime, but accidentally by John Travolta, his lookalike, and we've gone the wrong way ever since. But if that's not the case, which, you know, it might not be, then I think it's clear that he's lost the support of some of the playing staff and certainly some of the supporters. And with what is a run where we need everybody together, I mean, absolutely, the statements that the board could make, the way that we could all come together will absolutely, you know, allow us up to a point to say we want to fight for this. But if we've got a similar performance to what we've just seen on Saturday, go 1-0 down, doesn't look like we're getting anywhere near back into it, the toxicity will come again. I just think it's not fair on the guy because he's been put into an impossible situation for where his skills lie. But this just hasn't worked. And as I said recently, you know, there's nothing wrong with the board coming out and saying, we thought this was the right appointment. Unfortunately, it's just not worked out and we need to go another route. And I think, okay, they're not going to come out and say it in those exact words, but I think realistically, that's what I want to see happen.
Whatever, and let's also be fair, whatever your views on Ian Foster as head coach or not, there's absolutely nothing wrong with them coming out and saying, he's our man, he has our unified support, and hey, look, we may well go and win the next, you know, we could go and win three or four of our remaining eight games. He could keep us up, and then with a summer under his belt, who knows what sort of future he can build. And, you know, I think I'd like to think I speak for a large number of people and say I'd love nothing more than for Ian Foster to be the man to keep us up and take us forward. Because it would just keep the faith in our decision makers that yet again they've got another decision right, and they've gone through all the possible candidates and they've got the right man to take us forward. But I don't have a crystal ball, unfortunately. I can't tell what's going to happen over the next 8 games. To be honest with you, I can't even tell what's going to happen tomorrow. If that was the case,
you made a really good point earlier, Joe, about the fact that folks are worried about the undoing of such good, like Sisyphus pushing the stone up the hill. It's been, you know, years of slog, and the worry is that very quickly that stone's going to come right back down the hill again. That's the worry. The vast majority of people who are sort of saying, I don't think Foster's the guy, would love him to turn it around. It's not, you know, I know some are probably, you know, ingrained, but most of us don't hate the man, would love him to succeed, but there's just no evidence to suggest it's going to happen. And that's the sad, yeah, as Adam says, the very sad truth.
Before we are going to end on a slightly more positive note, those of you who have stuck with us, and we're well over 1,000 people now, we're delighted that everyone's chosen to avoid death in paradise and listen to us this evening. But we do... we do have one more thing to touch on a little bit later, but James, I'm going to come to you on this because you wrote a brilliant piece that we have publicised ourselves on the Argyle Life channels about the Championship Survival Guide, essentially. And you've detailed each team's route to survival, if you like, and the average. There's an interesting table on there, the difficulty in the league, which is essentially, I presume, the average league position as it is now in relation to the fixtures that the teams have got. So why don't you run us through for the next couple of minutes just what that report says. And, you know, before you do that, those of you who haven't read it, go and read it. It's on James's Twitter, One Team in Devon, and Argyle Life. But talk us through it, James.
Yeah, so I thought I'd put together for my own sanity, really, a run-in of a rundown of the run-in. So first off, I saw a table on Twitter of all of the teams averaged out. But I thought that's kind of difficult to look at because there's a lot of teams at the bottom have obviously picked up huge amounts of form. So I just figured I'd look at it two ways. I'd go and average out the average table position of each team's rivals for the run-in. And then I do it on the form table as well. So, and actually, well, just to go through our run-in, we've obviously had the Preston game, so all of these numbers are now one game out of date. The perils of trying to do this. But, you know, we do play Rotherham, QPR, Stoke and Millwall as part of our remaining 8 games. So half of our games are against our direct rivals. Then we have Leicester, Hull, in no particular order, Norwich and Bristol City. Bristol City being really the only team technically on the beach. Everyone else is either thinking they've got a chance of the playoffs or deep in our own relegation battle. So that is a kind of glass half empty view that very few of our games have nothing on them. There's not that much end of the season beach going to play into our fixtures. So then I averaged out the difficulty of based on the league position. Argyle, to spoiler, extremely middling in our difficulty compared to our rivals. Blackburn sticking out as the out and out hardest, by far the hardest fixture list of our rivals, because they have to play Leicester, Leeds, Ipswich and Southampton and Coventry in their last 8 games. So that's kind of plays in our favour. Rotherham also have the easiest fixture run, which is handy for us, seeing they're probably the only team out of it.
It's also come to the worst time for Rotherham as well, that now they've got the easiest fixture list whilst being about 20 points off safety, the poor sods. Yeah.
So that plays into our hands both ways. Millwall had the biggest disconnect between form and difficulty. They got the third hardest run-in in terms of the league position of their opponents, but they actually have the easiest run-in in terms of form. So all of their tougher games are against teams in the top of the table that are currently plummeting in the wrong direction. So Argyle, as I say, sort of fifth out of nine for difficulty in terms of form, and fifth out of nine for difficulty in terms of the table. So yeah, I actually ran those numbers much earlier, a few games before I ended up putting it out, because of the run of fixtures is coming so thick and fast. Anything you write immediately goes out of date. So I sort of timed it for that week break that we had. And actually Stoke had by far the most difficult run at that time. And then they've obviously got their bigger fixtures out of the way and put in some performances as well. So that doesn't play so nicely into our hands. So just to touch form table, I don't know if this is probably has changed slightly. I think we're 22nd out of 24 in the form table. And love it or hate it, it's again one game out of date now, but we were cruising just above the red PPG line. And then I put the big Nigel Longwijk goal at the end of that post, if anyone hasn't seen that. So do subscribe. Next week, it's a good time to put, is it next week or the end of next week? We've got another stats special, which is a collaboration with Argyle Life. So that'll be up on the Argyle Life site. It'll be on my Substack if you want to subscribe. And we'll be doing a special YouTube video on it as well.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Excellent. And it is a really good read. And I think, as you say, the disconnect between Millwall's, who they're playing form-wise, and the average position really is something else. They seem to, the appointment of Neil Harris may well end up being a bit of a... bit of a rabbit out of the hat sort of job, given the way things have gone for them. But let's change tack, because we've had enough discontent, shall we say. We've done an hour and 25 now on just how sticky the patch is that we're in at the moment. So let's talk about the 200 man. Ryan Hardy made his 200th Plymouth Argyle appearance yesterday. Look, I've had my tin hat on for the last 18 months about Ryan Hardy. I seem to be the one who's quite happy to go over the top of the trenches in defence of our number nine. So I'm not going to eulogise about him. I've spoken enough. But Adam, 200 appearances, modern day football, it's not to be sneezed at. He's what, 15th in the all-time leading scorers charts? Of course, I'm expecting a comment to come in now saying if he'd taken all those sitters, he may well already be in the top 10. But that swings in roundabouts. And who's to say? He's only I think I worked out the other day, he's 19 or 20 goals off getting into the top 10. He's under contract, as far as I know, for another two seasons. There's very much a chance that Ryan Hardy could end his Argyle career as one of the top 10 leading scorers of all time. We really are witnessing a fantastic Argyle career, aren't we?
Absolutely, yeah. And we've all, I think, had words to say and occasional frustrations with Hardy with some of those chances. But I think the greatest thing that you can say is that he's having a wonderful career at this club, regardless of what's happened there. And his ability to bounce back from anything that's happened. I think the very obvious example is obviously missing a penalty at Chelsea and 3 days later scoring a hat trick. Yeah, he's been that sort of player for a number of years now. And I think he's his story really and his transfer story is one of real success. I remember when he arrived in the winter of 2020 to not a lot of fanfare, in truth. There were all sorts of names of strikers we were being linked to. It was obvious that we were going to sign. Oh, we've got Sandra. Wonderful. Great to see Sandra as ever.
This is your 5 minutes now, Sandra. We are here solely to talk about your grandson.
We've got Huddy, yeah. Sandra Huddy. Just don't think you understand. She's Ryan Hardy's nan. We're glad that she's a fan. We've got Sandra Huddy.
I'm not sure how on the spot that was, but that was wonderful.
That will very quickly. That chant will now be on TikTok first thing in the morning. Adam, carry on.
Yeah, I think it, going back to 2020, him coming in wasn't named really, not a lot of us have had. It was like, oh, we've signed this guy Hardy. Okay, we're hoping success. He immediately was in League Two. It was obviously far too good for League Two, and has just kept building and building since. Had a quiet 2020-21, came back after that, and he's been fantastic ever since. I mean, it's one of those where I think a lot of our comments this season in terms of our transfer and saying, well, how do we manage to get Whittaker for what was such a cut price fee? Not a lot at all is being said about the fact that we've managed to pretty much just take Ryan Hardy from Blackpool for no particular fight, and suddenly he's performing in the second tier. Perhaps a shame on the personal level, so I just laugh at the comments as they come in as well. A shame on a personal level for him that he's not made the Scotland squad this time. He cannot be too far away with what's being delivered. And if he can get some of that goal scoring form back and put in a great end to the season, then who knows, a trip to Germany may await him in the summer months as well. But I think the fact that we're even talking about that, considering where we were when he was brought in, is testament to how well he's done over those 200 appearances. Hopefully, I mean, obviously we all want to keep our championship status. And one reason that we do want to keep our championship status is because Ryan Hardy is much more likely to stay around if we're in the championship than we are League One. And hopefully that is the case. Hopefully he does end up in the top 10 because the way he's been in those last 200 games, he deserves to be revered in that sort of way. And yeah, fingers crossed it'll all work out for him over the next couple of years as it has in the last four.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, I mentioned it the other week that a lot of clubs, not just in the championship, but in a lot of the football pyramid would do it, pay a lot of money for a striker who averages one in every three. And we are very fortunate to have Ryan. And as Dave mentioned earlier, it is Ryan's birthday today. It's also Brendan Galloway's birthday. So we're celebrating three birthdays on tonight's podcast. Adam, you are in very esteemed company. With Hardy and Galloway, so that's Hardy covered. We've also I did see, I'm now just going a bit off piste a little bit, so bear with me 2 seconds. I did see that the Argyle women played today. They played hashtag United in a fixture there, and they were 2-0 down against hashtag United, who themselves are having a really good season. Ellie Sara with a brace, and that actually clinched survival for the Argyle women. And as our tweet said earlier on today, that season upon season, they're slowly edging up the league table. And let's hope that they continue to progress when they're brought back in under the umbrella of the football club. I think that might actually start from next season. I can't quite remember what the when the announcement came out, when that was. But yeah, absolutely fantastic for the Argyle women today to come from 2-0 down against hashtag United to ensure their survival.
And playing more games in Torpoint and Plymouth now as well, so that a lot of those local fans can start getting to more of the games. That would be great.
Yeah, and that actually, we'll have a little bit of a point on this, actually, because that's one of the good things that to come from the sort of Hallett regime, isn't it? And the Argyle women, really, it's really been pushed to the forefront since the Hallets have come in. I know Simon and Jane, whenever they're over, they try to get to every Argyle women's game that they can. And James, you know, it's not just because of how modern day society is that, you know, this should have been happening years ago. I know the success of the Lionesses in recent years has pushed it to the forefront of everyone's minds, but having a successful youth setup that we now have, we obviously have, we're obviously a championship club on the pitch for, we hope, many years to come. To have a successful women's setup as well, it's almost like the Holy Trinity, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And as a parent, I know a lot of parent friends who take their kids to women's football in the Women's Premier League and other games locally as well, because the atmosphere is more welcoming. It's a fun day out. It's it's a sort of honest game for an honest price, and there's a big appetite for it. And I think that just shows that we should have a women's team that matches the function of the men's team. Like, it shouldn't just be a box ticked or something we do because we feel we should. Any team that has its sort of self-respect should have a high functioning women's team, and can not only be a good thing for the community and for the club, but it can be a money spinner as well. Like, it can be add to the bottom line of the club, because when hopefully games are being played at Brickfields in the future and at Home Park as well, and we can match the commercial success for the demand of the game, then it should be a part of our functioning club. So yeah, I'm all for it and on it on every level, and it's great that Hallett has invested in it, because it's as I say, it's part of a club of our size, stature and ambition. It's something that we should be investing in.
Absolutely spot on. And as Justa Jana said himself there, or herself, I shouldn't, I don't actually know who Justa Jana is. I do apologise. The comment says, hopefully when the ladies go to Brickfields, hopefully more people will support them. It's a great atmosphere at their games, and I think we can all definitely get behind that. Obviously, I think it was, 2,300 or something went to the FA Cup game this year that was at Home Park, and they had a really good FA Cup run. So very well done to Ryan Perks and the side, and here's hoping that next season they can build on that success. So we've been going now for 94 minutes, which according to John Busby is a suitable amount of time for a football match, even though he should have played at least another four or five yesterday, but stoppage time wouldn't have had a great impact on things. Good evening, Pi. Look forward to getting you back on in future episodes. We've actually got a break. Can you believe that? Now, we don't actually play a game for nearly 2 weeks. So unfortunately for all you listeners, you don't get to hear us ranting and raving now for 2 weeks. Although I do believe we have as James says, we've got the stats pod coming out at some point this week or over the weekend. And we've also got, we're also recording a very exciting edition of My Argyle Life in the coming days. That's one that everyone will be really excited to hear. But when we come back off our little break, I'm even having a little break this weekend coming up, which will be nice. But when we come back after the break, we do make the trip across the country to Norwich City to take on the Canaries. Where are you? Let's be having. And we take on David Wagner's Canaries in Aaron's back garden, I believe. I don't think he's ever mentioned it, but he lives in Norwich, don't you know? So he will be up at the crack of dawn, I'm sure, to make that long trip down the road. Ben, 6-2. What a day. It feels like 3 years ago, to be honest. This is one that we won't touch too much on this because obviously it is 2 weeks away and there's a lot of time. You know, for all we know, Sandra's very complimentary there. For all we know, our number nine may well get a late Scotland call up in the next couple of days, and we have seven players away on international duty. So we've got plenty of games to keep track of. But quick touch on Norwich at the weekend, next weekend even. Yeah. Over to you, mate. I'm not going to say too much more.
Yeah, it's they're in imperious form, aren't they? Sargent's been great for them since he's come back. If he's fit, we could be in trouble. And I think if we've still got Foster, if you know, hopefully if we have him, he'll have had the vote of confidence, and we all know where we stand, and we can either then choose to get behind him and the team, or we can vocalize our discontent, whichever our preferred option is. But I think for a lot of us, we will at least just shut up and put up and do our best for the team, which isn't to discount other options which are available. But I think like that's one that you'd like to think. I mean, you're gonna have to try and get something from the game. I do kind of feel like the best option is stick everybody behind the ball and sort of play a 5-5-0 and just try and get a point and stop the rot, because we're looking toothless going forward. And we've, as was alluded to by the boys, the supposed defensive strengths, which were there to begin with and implemented, seem to have slowly eroded over the past sort of a couple of weeks as well. So if we're going to get something out of this game, realistically, it feels like a backs to the wall, park the bus job. And that's the limit of our ambition, or what it should be, in my opinion, unless somehow there's some magic worked on the training ground. And, you know, even with all the absentees, we're able to somehow get it to click, then great. We might pull the proverbial rabbit out of the hat, but I'm not hopeful for much there. I think it's the games that follow, bar Leicester, that are going to be the what's going to tell for us, that's going to be the real meat and potatoes of the rest of the season.
That's a really interesting point, Adam, isn't it? Because after Norwich City, I don't know why I just tried to do my glasses with my arm under the boom for my microphone. I ended up hitting myself in the face with my microphone there. I'll get the hang of this podcast in like one day. I do, yeah. the headset's not got much love tonight. Disappointed. After Norwich City, the next three games are Bristol City at home, Rotherham away, QPR at home. They're a big three games coming up, aren't they? I'm not trying to take anything away from this Norwich game, because obviously every game is important now. Every game is a six-pointer. You know, even if you like it or not, Leicester really is a six-pointer. But they're a huge three games after this trip to Norwich, aren't they?
Yeah. They, in truth, yeah, it's hard to find a game at this stage of the season that isn't going to be a massive clash for whatever reason. I think the Norwich game, I hasten to use the term free hit because I think anything is a free hit at this point, but certainly you'd look at the three games that come after it as the ones that are more winnable and the ones that are more, they're going to be more relevant to us. But it almost feels a shame to be speaking like this on... well, we're trying to reverse its fixture against a side that we've stuck six past very recently this season. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe it'll turn out that we just happen to be their kryptonite and we can go there and put in the performance. But yeah, the three after that are going to be the ones that you'd imagine are the ones that are going to be absolutely key, whereas the others are just very important. But it's hard to distinguish at this point in any case.
It is. And James, you can't take the importance off any fixture, and the next game is always the most important one. What do you think about? Because Norwich, really, from when we played them all those months ago now, they've really picked up, and they're particularly at home at the moment. They're a bit of a formidable outfit, aren't they? I was it's been an hour and 40 minutes. I'm entitled to fluff my words up now. Whether or not you'd say I was fortunate enough or not, but I did see the Norwich Sunderland game a few weeks back whilst catching the highlights of the Argyle game. And Norwich were pretty ruthless against Sunderland, and they have been very ruthless at home of late, haven't they? This is going to be a tough test.
Yeah, it's an intimidating fixture. They're soaring in the form table. I'm a unrelenting optimist and cling to the fact that perhaps there's an outcome where we actually go with the intensity, the game plan, and are allowed the opportunity to press Norwich like we did Borough. and can cause a sort of chaos that we saw in that fixture. Obviously, we seem to be better for away from home at the moment than we are at home. So if you want to cling to two crumbs of positivity, then those are your opportunity. But then if you want to immediately eat those crumbs and vomit them back up, then we have no Forshaw. It looks like we're not going to have Forshaw, who I can't see shaking off a hamstring injury in the international break. If they're sending JB to a specialist, then that doesn't sound like he'll be featuring for a bit, unless he's going to play through the pain barrier or with injections or whatever. Obviously, we don't know a great deal about those injuries, but that's starting to leave Mumba's us extremely
suspended as well.
Yeah, Mumba will still be suspended. So we're looking, just as we were starting to look like we might, but Forshaw obviously had a bright game against Blackburn. And I think we would have been much improved, hopefully, in the midfield carnage of the North End game if we had a bit of Forshaw's calmness about it. It looks like we'd be very fortunate to have him back for Norwich, and with the fixtures coming after, even if there was a chance, you'd think hold him over for those other fixtures. So yeah, not too much to get positive about, but perhaps a few glimmers there if you need to hear that.
We'll do a quick, we won't talk about team news because obviously, as I say, 2 weeks is a long time in football. So we've 7 players away on international duty. Anything could happen to them. Obviously, touch wood, it doesn't. And obviously, you never know what might come of the players who are currently struggling with injury. We'll do a quick score prediction. Why not? We're not going to release a separate pod, I believe, for Norwich, so we'll quickly get some score predictions. Ben, the final score, Norwich City versus Plymouth Argyle will be
2-0, and we'll consider ourselves fortunate.
Win or defeat, was that, sorry?
Defeat.
Okay.
We'll be happy to take the -2 goal difference and run.
Adam?
Thriller minute 3-all.
Good God, we've had enough of them. And James, you're the eternal optimist.
I'm going to be so optimistic, I'm going to go 1-1. That's as bad as optimistic as I can summon up.
That'll do. Few scores just coming in there. Andy Gartside says 3-1 away win. Sandra says 2-2. I presume, Sandra, that's a Ryan Hardy double as well. Paul unfortunately says Norwich 3-0. And Steve Watson says utter shock 1-0 away win. So let's see what comes of it. Aaron, interestingly, producer Aaron, as he is known tonight, has just texted us in our group chat saying, are we planning on going to bed tonight or what? So I think our producer,
you're in Norwich, Aaron, do you want to go to bed tonight? You've got a long way to come. Oh, you meant like all of us separately.
The producer's trying to shut down the production. So unless either of you three gentlemen have got anything else you wish to throw in any other business?
I came up with another Sandra Hardy chant, but I'll save it for another day. I won't waste it on the Philistines in the chat.
No, we'll save that for maybe a special Songs of Praise edition of the Green and White podcast, maybe for another international break. So what have we got coming up for you over the next 2 weeks? We have got a stats pod in collaboration with James from One Team in Devon, Argyle Life, and a load of other fantastic stats gurus are going to tell us everything statistical about the recent run and what's coming up.
Alberto returns.
There we go.
Gets paid and everything. It's amazing.
When the knife is introduced to the butter.
That is going to be well worth a listen over the weekend. We, as I mentioned, we are recording another episode of My Argyle Life. That one's going to be really exciting. We're really excited to bring that one to you when it comes out of production. The latest Myago Life is available on all your podcast platforms. That one is with the one and only Woody from Bastille, who gives us a great, great interview on his Myago Life, talks about his time supporting Argo and that brilliant day where him and the voice of Argo himself, the late Gordon Sparks, I think it was Dagenham and Redbridge away, wasn't it? They brought us the commentary on Radio Devon. That really was a good one. Aaron tells us the big one, the next Myago Life, is dropping on Thursday. So there's one to keep out for, the next Myago Life. And then we've just done our Norwich preview, so I don't think Aaron's going to edit this one up because he wants to go to bed. I'm not sure he's going to edit it up and get it out as a special one before next Friday's game. If he does, great. If not, then obviously those of you who have missed it will want to skip back if you're listening to this after we've been live. And just a bit of a shameless plug, I will be on the EFL debate with Gab Sutton on Wednesday night from 5:30. Gab has a very uncanny knack of getting me on after a disappointing defeat. So maybe he owns the crystal ball that we'd all like to know what the future holds. So that will be on Wednesday. Other than that, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure, as always, to be back in the hosting chair. We will be back when, I believe, Aaron's probably going to correct me in the comments now in a second, that we're not going to be doing separate pods for the Norwich and Bristol City game. I think we're going to be back with one big jumbo episode at the end of the bank holiday weekend. So we will be partying responsibly over the bank holiday weekend. So keep an eye out for that. In the meantime, all that's left for me to say, Ben, James, happy birthday, Adam. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to the 1,600 or so of you who are tuning in right now. It really is mind-boggling how many people give up their Sunday evenings to talk to us. Don't worry, Death in Paradise will be available on iPlayer in about 20 minutes. As Aaron says, do subscribe, follow, like, retweet, share. I don't know what the TikTok thing is, but do get involved on all our socials. And that is all for us. So thank you for joining us. Keep the faith. Let's hope that things do turn around. We've got an 8-game mini season. Keep going. Keep supporting the Greens. And hey, it's one big roller coaster. Night, folks.
Night, all.
Night.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.